Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and I got to tell you, I'm very, very excited on several levels right now. Several levels, ladies and gentlemen. I am a cool cucumber right now. I don't know if you've been following my blog or social media or whatnot. Yesterday, it got a little warm in our house, and we realized the AC, the central AC, wasn't working. And so we called up our AC guy, and he got somebody out here, and sure enough, the motor that runs the fan in it had given up, and it was time for a service call anyway. Got to kind of get those done once a year. It's part of owning a house. But anyway, especially here in South Florida, because it was okay overnight, but man, it started getting warm this morning. And, you know, a guy got here, lickety-split, fixed it, and it is you could hang meat in here now. So it's a good thing. It is a good thing. And speaking of hang, no, I'm kidding. We're not talking about that at all today. We're talking about a very cool movie. It's a romantic comedy movie. It's you know, when I don't get a lot of those, I usually get, you know, killer ninjas and stuff. This has no killer ninjas in it. It does have a killer, or an attempted killer. And we're talking to one of the actors from that film. The film's called Stan the Man, and the actor we're talking to is Mr. Orson Chaplin. Orson, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, and, you know, glad to be here.
Oh, man, it's awesome. It's, you know, it's so true. I was saying, that, you know, when we started here, I usually get, I don't get a lot of romantic comedies come my way. Not that I have anything against them, I don't at all. But it's usually, you know, killers and things of that nature. We get a lot of horror movies, and action movies lately. This was refreshing. This was refreshing to come in, and I really enjoyed this film. I really enjoyed this film. First off, you're from. I was doing a little bit of research. You're from the UK originally, right? And then you moved over.
Yeah, originally, yeah, I was born in London, of all places, but I don't have, you know, an accent or anything because I moved to the States when I was about one, so, you know, I didn't have enough time out there to actually pick up on the accent, because I think you got to kind of be there for at least, you know, at least till two or three to kind of pick it up naturally. Yeah, so unless you go and move over there, yeah. Then I guess you have no choice, you know, if you're exposed to it constantly.
Exactly. So you moved over here. Let me ask you this. Now, where did you move? Did you, was it Florida or L.A. or where were you?
It was Florida, actually, which is, that's why I thought it was pretty interesting when you said you were fixing the AC in South Florida, because I'm like, well, I know how that goes. you need the AC out there.
I'm
yeah,
telling
it's,
you.
I grew up in Orlando. I was there for about 14 years. I moved to LA to live with my dad when I was about 15, because my dad was in LA and my mom was in Florida. It's funny because, you know, out here, whenever I hear people, you know, like in the summertime when they're kind of, you know, talking about the heat and stuff, like, oh, it's so hot. You know, I always kind of tell them, well, you know, it's hot, but it's not sticky. It's not the heat, the humidity, you know, that's what I don't think they understand is that, you know, when you go to Florida, it's a whole different, kind of hot.
I moved to I used to live in San Diego. I went to school in Boston, and then after college, I moved to San Diego because I wanted the exact opposite of Boston, which I got. And, you know, yeah. And then this was years ago, man. I was having one of these summers, you know, and I was a young guy, and I went through a bad breakup, and I said, screw it. I'm moving to Las Vegas in July. This is how smart I was. lasted 3 months. And I'm like, I'm going back to the ocean where it's cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Vegas
sure.
is hot. But you know what? I can handle Vegas heat. And Vegas is like crazy hot, you know, 114 degrees and stuff. I remember.
Yeah.
But you're right. Florida is like that tropical. I mean, man, and if you're a chunky monkey like me, it's like wearing a wetsuit or something around. You know, it is bad.
In general, you just can't really escape it. You know, I remember being a kid, and it was like even at nighttime in the summer, you know, it would still feel, you know, pretty warm. And then, you know, you got the mosquitoes and stuff, but. But there was a lot of great stuff about Florida too. I love the lakes, man. The lakes over there, they're
oh,
a
yeah?
lot of fun.
You know, there's always something. It ain't like there's nothing going on in Orlando. You know what I mean? There is.
Yeah. You got all the attractions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a
fun city for sure.
When you were in Orlando, did you have the acting? I mean, because you kind of have a famous pedigree and whatnot, you know, your grandfather, Hollywood icon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you have the bug in Florida, or did that happen when you relocated out to L.A.?
You know, it's cool that you asked that, because basically what happened with me was, as a kid, you know, even around, I think by the time I was 5, I was already kind of obsessed with the idea of being an actor.
Really?
I was already kind of telling, I always kind of had a joy for just performing in general. I was telling my mom and dad back then, you know, I really want to get into acting, but they didn't want to let me do it because they
right,
said, you
wow.
know, We're fine with you wanting to be an actor, but not now. Because, you know, I guess they were worried
right.
that maybe it would, you know, do something to me mentally. And, you know, I think they might have been right at the same time. I'm kind of happy that they didn't let me do
well,
it when I was little.
Well, you see all those stories, you know, with child actors. Not, and it doesn't always happen. But I'll tell you what, more often than not it does. You know, it's it's crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Crazy.
I think it's just,
I know a couple
yeah, it's
kids
like
that
if you're
we're okay, but man, you worry.
Yeah,
you know?
I think,
I can,
you know, if you're not mentally mature enough, right, it's like, I feel like it could have a, you know, it could change you possibly, you know, if you're on set at 6 years old and, you know, doing big movies and things, I'm sure it's got to do something to the psyche.
You're getting work now and not just one of those reality houses on VH1 or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, hopefully I don't have to do one of those for a while.
I hear you, man. I think those people are doing fine. We wish them well.
No, they are. Those shows are fun. I'm just kidding. But, it's cool because I feel like, you know, it was kind of a natural progression because, you know, when I was in Florida, like I said, they didn't really let me pursue acting professionally, but I did, or I do have a best friend who still lives out there. He's a friend of mine named Tony. And, you know, he's been an aspiring filmmaker and stuff. So we would make a lot of just, you know, little short films messing around and stuff in Florida. So I definitely was getting an early taste, at least, of, you know, kind of being on camera, just not on a professional level. But yeah, I mean, we used to have a lot of fun with that stuff.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, you know, and it doesn't surprise me then that it led to where it led. You know, that's very cool. So you get out to LA, you're 15, you know, and it's, you're kind of, I remember when I first moved to Southern California, and again, I moved to San Diego, so it wasn't as intense as LA, but it seemed like I was always in LA. That's where all the cool people were. And all the good parties seemed to happen in LA, you know, Silver Lake and whatnot. Went through that phase, you know. It was just a long drive home for me. That 3 hours.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like a little mini road trip.
Oh, I'm telling you. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. All right. You know, I shouldn't even tell this story on the air, but I was coming home from one of those nights and I had woke up. Apparently, I had fallen asleep at the wheel, but I pulled off the road, you know, in like one of those pullouts, and I woke up and I'm on a cliff looking out over the ocean, somewhere around Pendleton or something. Yeah, and I'm like, I couldn't remember off, and I'm like, I said, I can't make this drive. If I make it, it's got to be sunlight out. You know, this is crazy.
That's got to be a little intense. Yeah, right? You wake up and you're on a cliff. That's got to be, I know, I'd probably be like, whoa, how did I get over here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, I was okay. I was okay. But, yeah, so you're out there and, you know, but I remember a lot of people are, you know, they're into movies or music. That's really what was going down. So you're kind of surrounded by that. So it doesn't surprise me that you got into it. You know, I mean, was all your new friends and everything kind of into that too, or were you still a little young to really put the pedal to the metal? Or what happened when you got to LA?
Well, you know, it's funny because you mentioned that a lot of people also do music out here, and when I came out to LA, because I also do music as a hobby, really. Now it's a hobby, but at the time, you know, I was considering trying to do music professionally because, you know, I compose like music and stuff on the computer. So when I was in high school, I was kind of, trying to produce indie music, basically. Like I had a friend of mine, we kind of created like a duo, called Radioactive at the time. And, I did a little bit of vocals on it, but he was like the main kind of vocalist, and I just did all the beats and stuff on it. We made like a 12 track album, but you know, it's the thing with music though is what I was learning the hard way, at least back then. I mean, it's probably different now, but it was just hard for me to get anyone to listen to it, you know,
right.
to listen to the, to listen to the album. You know, you get a lot of people say, oh yeah, I'll check this out, you know, when I get home, but then, you know, never hear from them again. So, and like I said, I still do music for fun. I mean, it's just a, you know, it's like a, it's just a passion hobby type of thing. But yeah, so I kind of had like a pause in acting where I was trying to do music. And then when I got out of high school, that that best friend I was telling you about in Florida, he was starting to come out to LA to visit. And, you know, he kind of brought me back into the making these short films again. And then when I was in my early 20s, I'd say probably about 22, that was when the bug really, you know, the decision went in my mind, like, okay, I want to do this professionally and I'm going to figure out what I have to do to, you know, get this going.
Nice.
And it, it took a little bit of time, you know, it wasn't necessarily a quick thing. I did a lot of, student films and a lot of short films and just stuff for free in general. But, you know, it was cool because it was helping me just kind of get an idea how things work on set and stuff. Cause even though I grew up, you know, hearing about the business my whole life, I was never really brought on set when I was a kid or anything. So I still had to kind of get a vibe for that, myself, just to kind of see how every, you know, cause it's a whole different beast than like acting school. I think it's a completely different nature.
Well, maybe that's not a bad thing though. You know, I mean, you get this and you have your own experiences and whatnot and, you know, burned into your brain and, you know, you kind of figure it out, for yourself. And I think that's kind of a cool thing, you know, that's very cool.
Oh, thank
now,
you. Thank you.
So
yeah. I'm, you know, I'm grateful that I got to learn the hard way on, you know, productions that were cool about it. Like they weren't gonna, you know, fire me if I messed something up. They were, you know, they were lenient on letting me kind of figure stuff out.
No, that's awesome. So you're doing all this and everything. What was your, do you remember like your first bigger type gig as far, you know, that wasn't like student film and whatnot?
Yeah, I do actually. I remember it perfectly. To me, the first thing that, and it's not necessarily a huge thing, but it was something that played on TV. So I was like, this, at the time, I was definitely like, this is a, you know, big deal. Was this show?
Yeah.
I don't even think it's around. I don't think it's around anymore. It's a show that was called 1,000 Ways to Die. I don't know if you.
I remember this show. Yes, me and that was out when I was still living in California, and I don't know if certain things were legal, but a lot of my friends used to partake a little bit, and that was one of the things we watched whilst they were partaking.
It was a perfect show for that. I mean, it was, you know, it was one of those shows, like really dark comedy, I think, because, you know, they're showing real deaths, but the way that they kind of narrate it and stuff, they almost make it kind of comical, I guess, because it's like the way that a lot of these people die is just so, you know, just random.
Right. Well, that was awesome. So were you one of the cats that got killed on the show, or were you a supporting
person?
Yeah, I was.
I was in an episode about, we were basically, we were supposed to be these four kids from Boston, who were, you know, kind of, I guess, wannabe gangster types. And we're in a basement and we're playing some game. I had actually never even heard of the game until I had the audition for the show. But it's some game called Edward 40 Hands. I'm not sure if you've heard of that. It's like a game. I had never heard of it myself. It's like a game. I mean, apparently it's a real thing. It's like a game where people take two 40-ounce bottles of beer and they tape each bottle to each hand. So their hands are – they can't use their hands because they have, you know, bottles taped to them. And basically, I guess, the idea of the game is, you know, you can't take the bottles off your hands until you finish them. until you finish drinking.
Right.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I guess in this particular situation, we're playing that game, me and these three other Boston kids, and basically the couch accidentally goes on fire because one of the kids is smoking a cigar. And then when the couch goes on fire, we're all stuck in there, and we can't turn the doorknob because our hands are all are all.
Oh
taped.
My God, that is perfect for that show. I can totally see that being.
Yeah.
That show.
So we basically,
that's terrible,
you know,
but
yeah,
funny.
It's like I said, it's definitely a dark natured show because it's like, you know, if you think about that, it was real people, then it's you know, actually really sad, but it's the way that they that they narrate it and, you know, edit it and everything, they intentionally, I think, kind of make it, you know, a little bit comical. Like even when we're dying in the episode, some of the close-up shots they do look a little comical, at least in my opinion.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, the moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
That's funny. That is funny. So what a way to go. So you're doing stuff like this and whatnot.
Yeah.
How did Stan the Man come about? Did they use a casting company? Did you go through, or, you know, your agent call you, or were you just having what happened?
You know, Stan the Man, that was actually a nice surprise. What happened with that? I did get a call from my agent about it because basically he had two of his other clients were in the movie already. They had already been casted in the movie. And he basically, you know, he just called me one day saying, hey, there's this movie, Stan the Man. I have two of my other clients are in this movie already. And he said, you know, they have this role that they're trying to fill, and he's like, you know, I brought you up and they saw your stuff and they want to offer you the role. So then, you know, I asked him, well, what's the role? Can I just see what they want me to do? You know, what do they have me doing? And then once I read it, I was like, oh yeah, this is fun. So I told him, yeah, you know, I'd love to do it. And it was really nice because, you know, that doesn't happen for me very often, where it's just kind of, you know, something's offered. Yeah, I mean, 90% of the time, or 95% of the time, really, you know, I have to audition. So it was a nice surprise. I mean, I was kind of flattered, really, that they, you know, that they would offer me the part without having an audition or anything. But I mean, I guess the character was kind of in my. Like what I do a lot, I guess. So.
Right.
yeah. There you go. Oh, that's a yeah. There you go. It was in my neck of the woods. I like that. Yeah, I like that.
At least you didn't have 40 ounces duct tape to your hand this time. You know what I mean?
No. But you know what's funny? My scene does take place in a liquor store.
Yes.
So
there
you
go.
I didn't have the 40 ounces, but the 40 ounces were nearby.
That's right. Reminding you what could happen. No, it's, you know, and it's great. This film, and especially right now with the season, you know, for Valentine's Day and all this and that, you know, like I said, on our show, we get a lot, and it's just the way it is. It's a lot of indie stuff. People go for horror or whatnot, you know, when they're making these. Because, you know, it's the buck. They want to try the dream. You know, there's that Blair Witch dream. Nobody
remembers
the Harry Met Sally dream, although that was a big but there's money to be made. Hey, gals watch movies. Let me tell you. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
I sit through enough.
Oh yeah. No,
watching with my.
I mean, the romantic comedy. That's like the classic date movie, pretty much, right? I mean, I feel like that's the best. Right? It's one of the best ways to go on a date is to go see a romantic comedy, a lighthearted romantic comedy.
Absolutely. And because, you know, and any fellow that's been around will tell you, you're not getting smooched going to a kung fu theater. You know, I mean, you're watching classic kung fu with your gal, that's just ain't gonna, you may enjoy it, and you probably will, and it's great. But if that's, if your end game is, a cuddle on the couch, that ain't the way to go. Stand the Man's the way to go. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, and it's out now, you know, it came out February 4th.
I totally agree. I think it's the perfect movie for that.
It came out, did you guys have a, like a little thing, you know, did a little party and stuff, and have you seen it, you know, on a bigger screen and all this and that, or how did it, have you seen it, right, the finished product?
Yeah. I actually, I just saw it on Sunday, actually. Just this last Sunday, they did a cast and crew screening. It was at Raleigh Studios. It was the first time I saw the whole movie, like from the, you know, beginning to the end. And I got to say, I enjoyed it. And it was funny because I'm kind of like you in the sense that, like how you were saying, you know, you've been getting all these horror movies and action movies and stuff. It's kind of like that with the gigs that I do. A lot of the acting jobs I get are for horror movies or crime type of action stuff.
Right.
So for me, it was kind of a nice change to go watch a lighthearted, you know, romantic comedy. I was like, I'm not used to this. You know, I'm used to seeing a bunch of violence and whatever, whatever they, you know, have me going to see. It was a really nice change. I actually really liked it. I thought it was, you know, I definitely am open to doing more of them.
I
thought it was
cool,
you know.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was nice.
It was a nice change.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a great film, and it's got a good little message to it, and I like it, you know. Is it Citizen Kane? No, but it's thoroughly, I thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. I sat down and I watched it. Well, you know what I'm saying. You're not, this isn't one of those, because I get a lot of those too, you know, but these kind of art house type, you know, I guess they figure they're like, oh, it's Jamie, let's send him this really weird stuff. And I don't mind it, you know. I like to watch Inception once in a while, you know, I have no problem with that. Although, you know, we did have a movie about a killer couch not a while back. Which was interesting.
Oh,
wasn't that.
Was that the Australian film?
Yeah.
Dude, I haven't seen it, but I saw the trailer and it completely caught my eye. I thought it looked hilarious.
It did. And you're right. The trailer is, there's like scenes where the couch is mad looking out, like, because he's a killer couch.
Yeah.
He's upset, looking out the window, like, and he's frowning, and it's like, oh shit.
I'll be honest with you, man. I saw that trailer and I was messaging it to my buddy and I'm like, dude, look how good this looks, you know, because I love that kind of stuff. I love when movies just kind of do what they want, you know, like you could tell that movie, they're just like, we're going to make a movie about a killer couch and we're going to do it the way we want to do it. And we don't care.
That's right, and we don't care.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
they just, yeah.
My girls watch that ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? But all I did was
trailer
of Stan the Man, and she's like, oh, we're watching this. So just, you know, worked till
great.
This time, and then that day, and then we're watching it, and, you know, and so just get ready. So that's how that kind of went, you know. So I'm telling you, the ladies love this stuff, and probably some of the fellas. I enjoyed it. I like an emotional journey that is a step out of reality, you know, and, you know, and I don't know. I could kind of relate to Stan a little bit. I've led a pretty fast life. You know,
oh, nice.
Never owed the right much money, but it could have happened.
I know. He's so rich in the movie.
Right.
His character.
But he had to change his way. It's very funny because I like I said, I can kind of relate to that a little bit. I used to, like I said, when I lived in California, man, I lived kind of a fast life. I'd go to a lot of nightclubs and this and that, and that's where I met people to sell my paintings. That's why I was going out and stuff. And when I moved to Florida,
of course,
I had a friend of mine from out back west there. He's like, well, what are you going to go to all the clubs in Miami now? And I'm like, oh man, I got a girl. I can't be, that's a way to lose a girl. You know?
Yeah. Big time, right? Big time.
And there comes a point, unless you are like Stan the Man and, have a big fat wad in your pocket. You don't want to be the old guy at the club, unless you own the club.
No.
And it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you own the club.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to be that, the creepy old guy out. It doesn't work.
Yeah, just but, at the bar by him, at the bar by himself, just trying to
look
buy
at
everybody a drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't want to be that. That's I've seen that too many times, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be doing that.
Yeah, me neither.
I can't drink anymore like I used to. A lot of miles.
Yeah,
man.
No.
I put in my time.
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes you gotta just kind of slow it down.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Get things done, But this was maybe that's why I like this film so much, because I was watching it. And I'm like, sometimes you just do. It may take getting shot for you to realize that.
Right. Yeah, he had to have a pretty big wake-up call, a painful one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It is, but it's a good movie, and I don't want to give too much away and whatnot in it, but I definitely want people to watch it. It's out all over the place, video on demand, and, just everywhere.
Yep, yep.
People stream movies now.
I'm really glad you enjoyed it, man.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com. hatsoff.com to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
And it didn't seem, though, your character in it, is not Stan the Man, but a very important character, pivotal character. Your character wouldn't have had a movie without your character. You know, it would have been a very short
show.
But you've had experience, you said, playing this type of character and whatnot. When you first read it, I mean, were you kind of thinking that, oh gosh, another bad guy? Or was it like, yeah, you know, I'm going to take this somewhere. I'm just going to
do it.
Yeah,
I think it was more the second thing you said. Because that's the thing, you know, even though I do, I mean, it's kind of funny. I don't even really know how the whole bad guy thing came about. You know, it's like back when I was first starting, I swear I did maybe like, I was doing, you know, some short films just as, just regular guys, not bad guys, characters. And then I did like one, you know, short film where I played a really evil type of character. And then after that, it just seemed like it started becoming this pattern of like, like once I got the clip of that
like,
and put the,
let's
yeah,
get him
and,
again.
Then, and then I started noticing this pattern of like, I mean, some of the characters that come my way, I'm just like, geez, do they really, you know, think of me like this? but then I realize it's just a character.
Yeah, and the phone is ringing, Orson. When that phone stops ringing, is when you got to worry about it. You know, take their money.
Oh yeah,
I believe in
embracing whatever works, right? So if that's what's working for me, then I'll embrace it. You know, I mean, I have nothing against it. That's for sure. So when they did send the scene for Stan the Man. I mean, I read it and I was like, oh, it's another bad guy. But then I was already, you know, starting to get ideas and stuff like, oh, okay, I can kind of maybe do this approach or, you know, I was already starting to get kind of excited about it.
The thing is, all these movies have to have an antagonist, you know, they have to have a bad guy. Otherwise, it won't have a movie, you know. So I see nothing
no conflict.
Wrong with that. Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Exactly. You have to have it, you know, otherwise it's, real dull, you know.
A movie with no conflict. I feel like a movie with no conflict would be like a 5-minute movie.
Right.
Stan goes to gamble and he wins his money and that's the end of the movie. no conflict.
And you know, and people would complain. Oh, you think people complain now? Oh my, that is very true. I remember years, many, many, a million years ago, I went to the movie theater, and this one I used to just go to the movie theaters at this point in my life. I was a teenager, and I saw this movie called Spellbinder, and it was a horror movie, maybe 90s horror movie. And, you know, it was about a guy and he meets a girl and she winds up being a witch and all this kind of stuff. And she's got a whole satanic cult that's out. It was a whole thing. But anyway, and I don't mean to give spoilers away, but this movie, you know, is probably 40 years old now. So if you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, if they haven't caught it by now, right?
Right. You know, it's all
they might be out of luck.
Well, they're going to, because I'm going to tell. What happened at the end, the bad guys won, you know, and I knew that the filmmakers were trying to be, you know, kind of weird and stuff. And I was pissed off. What? You know, the main guy gets killed at the end of the bad guys? What the hell is that?
Oh, no.
There were no subtitles in this movie. I feel cheated, you know, what the hell? So, like, what's her face in Misery? You know, it was no good.
Annie Wilkes?
Yeah, I sound like Annie Wilkes. I wanted to find them, tie them to a banana. I'm kidding, ladies and gentlemen. No, I was pretty annoyed.
You gotta take out the what is she using in the movie again? A sledgehammer.
That's right. That's cool.
On his foot, on his poor foot.
And they showed it in the movie. Remember that scene where she hits it? And because you're like, they're not gonna. And then you see his like ankle go, and you're like, oh my god.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I think it makes it so much more horrifying when they show that quick shot of it. It's just like, oh god.
It's like watching, you watch those sports bloopers. Every so often, they'll sneak one of those in, you know, where the guy's catching the football and he lands and rolls his ankle out of the socket or whatever.
God,
and you're like, what am I seeing? Can't get it out of my head now. It's
those images are definitely hard to get out once you've seen them.
Oh man. Well, I want to ask you, Orson. I know we're up against the time. You're just fascinating to talk to. And so much fun, but I know we're talking about Stan the Man, and we have links up for it and everything, everybody. But I have to ask,
nice.
And I know you Hollywood actors sometimes can't talk about upcoming projects until all the T's are crossed and I've got it. Is there anything upcoming that you can talk about that's in the shoot for you?
Well, I can. There is something I have that's going to be coming out. As far as shooting goes, I'm back to the audition grind now. but I was just filming something about two weeks ago. I did a pretty fun role for a TV show, just one episode of a TV show. But like you said, I can't say the specific name of the show yet, just because I signed an NDA, and I guess
right,
I have to wait
right.
till they actually announce the show, but it's a crime show, and
nice.
I'm basically and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I just wrapped it. I was filming for about a week, and this was about 2 weeks ago, so it's the first project of the year. But I believe it should be it was a blast, and I believe the episode should be coming out in April. But when I know for sure, you know, I can let you know
on
because I think you got me on Twitter, right? Because I saw the advertisement for. Yeah, yeah, I retweeted it. I don't have a lot of followers, but you know, I try to put it out there.
Hey, you got me. You got me. And
yeah.
Everybody, I'll be putting the link up to Orson's Twitter so you can follow him as well. How about that? We're gonna put you on blast.
Oh yeah, I know. I will for sure. Yeah, no, because and then also, you know, I can once I get a specific air date, I can let you know. So if you want to check it out,
we'll blast it out and everything. Very cool, very very cool. So that's awesome. You're living the dream. You're out in California. You're shooting TV series and whatnot, shows. And how cool is that, man? This is awesome.
It's amazing, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything else. And you know, I always tell people, at least in the acting business, you can have, you know, extremely euphoric highs, and then you can also have, you know, lows, because it's kind of like a wave. You know, it's like I have some months where it's, you know, there's like so much going on that it's hard to keep up with, and then I have other months where it kind of maybe slows down a little bit. But then it always comes back around, you know. So it's one of those things you just always kind of have to be on your toes and be ready. Because sometimes, you know, when you least expect it, all of a sudden I'll get that call from my agent. Hey, you got this audition for tomorrow 11 a.m. and it's like a 6-page audition. You know, so
right,
and then they'll send that
right.
to me like six in the evening the night before. So that's when it's just like, you know, you got to put your game face on, drop everything you're doing, and just that becomes, you know, main priority. I love it though, man. It's definitely a fast paced job, but yeah, I love it all, man. I mean, even just being on set and kind of just watching how they set up shots and, you know, how they problem solve and everything. It's fascinating. You know, I still can't even keep up with everything that they do. You know, the technical guys on set, they're just amazing. You know, the way
they
problem solve.
And they, yeah, I was just going to say, they sometimes, you know, because you, with film, and especially indie film too, you know, you get weird sets and different things happen and that. And man, I've only been on a few, but it is amazing. You know, people are like, oh, well, we got to do that. We don't have that. Well, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And, exactly. Yeah, it happens all the time. You know, there might be something in the script. You know, they were going to maybe, you know, do something specific, but then when they get to the actual location, it's like, oh, well, we can't do this anymore because, you know, this door doesn't open, or, you know, like there's some kind of something going on at the location. So then they, you know, they just have to roll with it and, okay, now we're not going to have him go through this door. He's going to, you know, break the window to get in, or or whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they just,
I was talking to some people that made a sci-fi film. This is probably last year, maybe the year before. It was on the show though, but it was fascinating because so they make this, and it's an indie film, you know, and I always think, man, science fiction would be hard on an independent film budget, but you know, because there's not a lot of money for models and, you know, and I don't mean pretty girls, guys. I'm talking, you know, models of shit. But anyway, what these guys did, all you got to do is say you're making a movie and the pretty girls. No, I'm kidding. Don't send me emails. I'm going to get all kinds of trouble for that. But, joking. No, what these cats did is they filmed it on a, I don't know, it was a submarine somewhere. And they, you know, like it was one of these ones that had tours on it and everything. So they finagled the submarine. Hey, speaking of weird locations, and I know we're going to go, but I have to mention this because this is amazing and people don't realize this. They filmed the sci-fi movie on a submarine because there was all kinds of pipes everywhere and everything. It looked very like spaceship, you know. It was it worked.
So they made it work for what they needed.
Oh, exactly. Put some flashing lights here and there and boom, you're in space. You guys filmed Stan the Man. I'm going to talk to Stephen's on tomorrow, Stephen Chase. And I'm going to talk to him about this tomorrow, but I've got to touch on it because I was blown away. You guys filmed this in an actual casino, which is like unheard of. That's usually, you can't do that. But you guys did.
Right. Yeah. They did it at, I believe, Pechanga, the Pechanga Casino.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got permission to do it.
I know.
That usually doesn't happen.
I know. I don't know either. And I mean, my character's never in a casino in the movie, but when I saw the movie, I was noticing that too. And I was like, man, it looks really good. Like shooting in the real casino, it just looks so legit. I mean, even all the, you know, the people working in the casino, I feel like some of them might have actually been real. You know, like they might have really worked there.
Some
of the dealers and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, well, usually they don't want any type of cameras or anything in those places. And because people, you know, unscrupulous people will watch that stuff and get idea. You know, it's just part of the casino.
Oh, yeah.
Film. But, man, they did it.
Yeah.
And pass off to them. You know, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how they pulled it off. But, yeah, they did. I mean, you know, maybe they just really like Stephen Chase. You know, he's a pretty charismatic guy. maybe he had a good conversation with him.
He was on point at one point, is what I got to say, that we probably didn't see.
They're like,
we
got to let this guy film in here.
Exactly, man. I need to get him selling paintings.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy in real life. I think you'll have a good time talking to him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I loved him in the film. Like I said, I like this film a lot. It was very cool. Well, hey, Orson, I know I've kept you longer than I said I was going to, and I apologize about that. But like I said,
No need to apologize.
Just a natural of doing these. You've probably been doing a bunch of press and whatnot, I imagine. And it shows. It's very, very accomplished at it, so that's a good thing. Makes my job easier.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be on the show, man. It's awesome. It's a great movie.
Oh, hey, man. Yeah, I was just going to say, I appreciate you having me on, and also the kind words about the movie. You know, I'm just glad you enjoyed it. You know, at the end of the day, as long as people, you know, like it, I think that's, you know, a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a fantastic film, ladies and gentlemen. Stan the Man. I want everybody, this is a good date night movie. Rent that, you know, make a night. Here's a good thing, and it won't break the bank. Watch the movie, get the movie for Valentine's Day, you know, and make your gal a nice little dinner there. Yeah. Or even, you know, order in or something and, have a film night. Trust me, guys, this is the way to do it.
Take his word for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's so cool. And I can't wait to see more. And I will be posting as soon as Orson can let us know about his upcoming work, I will be reposting that on everything. But, and I will be posting a direct link to his Twitter page. So everybody get out, follow Orson on Twitter and whatnot. And if you don't follow me already, well, you can. That's cool, too. And we will see you guys next time. Thanks so much, Orson. Orson Chaplin, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, thank you for having me on, man. It was a blast. I love talking about this
stuff. Absolutely.
All right,
talk to you soon, man. Huh?
Okay, have a wonderful day.
You too. And there you go, folks.
Okay,
Mr. Orson Chaplin, what a fantastic guest. That was a lot of fun. I really, really enjoyed this film. Stan the Man. Everybody get out and rent that. It is, or buy it, you know. And buy it, because then you have it. It's very, very cool and well worth the money. I really enjoyed this one. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's today's episode. We're going to finish up here, and we will be back tomorrow with co-writer, actor / star of the film and director, tomorrow. Steven is going to be on, and it's going to be a good show. So same time tomorrow afternoon, and there you go. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed on all the various social media platforms, including all the podcasting platforms. We are on a whole bunch, a couple hundred of them. The big one, of course, is Apple Podcast. So if you're listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcast, hello from the past, do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. Keeps us up at the top of the page. And baby, that is where we like to be. The view is always better from. No, I'm kidding. What it is when I talk to advertisers and stuff, it just makes my life a lot easier. It really does. So I appreciate that. And well, that's going to be it for us today. So we will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great one, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rock, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.